This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock. Coming up over the next hour, our focus this afternoon will be on Bristol City, Blackburn and Reading. Talking about the managers, some clubs have made very swift appointments to replace the former managers. Other clubs like Barnsley still without a permanent manager. And also some of the other top stories. What has Neil Harris had to say as he takes over as the Cardiff manager? Could Barnsley be about to appoint a new manager? Stoke hit by an injury blow, and Derby's off-field issues do not stop. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to come over the next hour. That number again, 0208 7020 558, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon. Obviously, the Championship Fan Show every weekday afternoon between 2 and 3 o'clock, dedicated to all the fans of all of the 24 Championship clubs. As I said, our focus, the clubs will be putting a further spotlight on this afternoon, will be Bristol City, Blackburn and Reading. So fans of those clubs, make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Let's go through some of the top stories currently in the Championship at the moment. Neil Harris has said that he is not the new Neil Warnock. He had his first press conference yesterday and he said that he is not Neil Warnock Mark II, even though it's one Neil in to replace a Neil out. He will most certainly not be the same person. He will not play the same way. Some doubts over his style of play, but he said he'll come in, he'll have an attacking style of play, he'll promote youth, but he'll also be looking for some signings in the January transfer window. Quite a lot of negativity surrounding his appointment, but as has been proven at Reading, and we'll talk about that later in the hour, Mark Bowen, his appointment was met with a great amount of negativity, but he has made an unbeaten start, so interesting to see how he gets along. First game is against Charlton this coming weekend. As I mentioned, Derby's off-field issues do not stop. The news today is that Richard Keogh's appeal against his sacking by Derby for gross misconduct will be heard by the club later this week. Obviously, Keogh, 33 and out for the next 15 months, will be backed by the Professional Footballers Association. He was obviously sacked for his involvement in the drink driving incident, which resulted in Tom Lawrence and Mason Bennett being banned from driving for 2 years. So Philip Cocker, who's had a lot to deal with off the field, and a certain husband of Wagatha Christie is on his way in January, so the off-field issues are not going to stop. And Philip Cocker's got quite a lot to deal with. At Stoke, they've been hit by an injury blow. Michael O'Neill, we talked about him yesterday, that he said it's dead easy to be the manager of an international team as well as a club side. Well, he's going to have to deal with an early setback as Sam Klukas is set to be ruled out until next year. He broke his foot in the recent game against Barnsley, so a bit of a blow for him. Barnsley are in advance talks with Gerhard Struber. He's a manager over with Wolfsberger over in the Austrian Bundesliga, and he missed training yesterday and is expected to be appointed as the new manager in the next 24 to 48 hours. That is the expectation. Now, Barnsley have been without a permanent manager since the early part of October when they parted ways with Daniel Stendel, who took them up from League One into the Championship. Adam Murray has been in caretaker charge. He was amongst the favourites for the job, but it seems like Gerhard Struber could be the man to take over. A lot of doubts over, well, for a lot of people, who he is. But at some point, as Johnny Burrow pointed out yesterday when he came in to preview Drive yesterday, lots of people start out as unknowns. Everyone does at some point, and you have to give them a chance. It may not be the most glamorous of appointments and the most well-known of appointments, but you never know. Daniel Stendel wouldn't necessarily have been known to a lot of Barnsley fans before he came in, and he took them out from League One into the Championship. So maybe Barnsley looking for a similar type of effect in the form of Gerhard Struber. And it leads me on to the point about managerial changes. Now, we've talked about it quite a lot over the first hour as to whether Ralf Hasenhüttl was under serious pressure at Southampton, whether Mauricio Pochettino could walk or even be sacked by Tottenham, whether Rafa Benitez could be replacing Manuel Pellegrini at West Ham. I'm actually surprised that the Championship this year, clubs have been a lot more ruthless than clubs in the Premier League this year. We've only had that one change in the 4-1, sacking Javi Gracia, sat by Watford, and Kike Sanchez Flores was appointed within 20 minutes, I think it was. It was a rather swift transition period between the two. In the Championship, we've had plenty of changes already. Reading have gone from José Gomes to Mark Bowen. Huddersfield, they've gone obviously from Jan Sievert to Danny Cowley. Millwall as well, they've gone. Neil Harris resigned and Gary Rowett came in quite quickly. Cardiff, as we just mentioned, one Neil out in the form of Neil Warnock and a Neil in the form of Neil Harris. Stoke have obviously made the change. Nathan Jones went at the beginning of this month on the 1st, and then a week later, Michael O'Neill has come in there. Barnsley are the one club that still haven't appointed a new manager, although, as we were just talking about, Gerhard Schuber could be the new man in there very, very soon. But Daniel Stender was sacked over a month ago. And so it sort of leads me to ask, how quickly do you need to appoint a new manager? And also, the Barnsley situation, I think, confirms the point that I make quite a lot, is that it's all well and good saying or believing that your current manager isn't good enough. That's fine. As a hierarchy, as a board, you may feel like that manager has come to the end of their tether, that's it. You need to move on and you need a change, and that's fine. But, number one, you can't, unless you do this during the summer, that's the perfect time to take your time and be meticulous. If you're going to do it within a season, you cannot, in my view, do what Barnsley have done, where they have left it over a month to make that permanent change. Adam Murray has been in caretaker charge. It is very difficult, especially at a club that's struggling, a club that's only just been promoted. It's difficult for a caretaker who doesn't even know whether they're going to get the job permanently, whether someone else will come in. Not easy for them to fit in and for 5-6 weeks like he's had to do. But it just confirms that point as to you have to have someone lined up. I know, obviously, you can't speak directly to someone else and do that while someone's already in charge, but you need to have, obviously, a shortlist, because you may not get your first choice, but you need a small group of managers that you feel like they're your man, and they're who you're going to go for. And you've also got to believe that the person you're going to bring in has to be an improvement. You've got to believe that they're going to definitely do a better job. If you're just bringing someone similar in, then what's the point of making that change in the first place? You might as well stick with the person that's already at the helm. You've got to bring in someone that you believe would most definitely do a better job than the person they're taking over from. And I really don't get Barnsley's strategy on this, as to waiting so long, to taking so long to make this decision as to who's going to be that man. It's not as if they took a 2-week international break and then by the end of it they made the decision. They still haven't come to their decision. We've had 2 international breaks during that period as well, so they've had ample time to do so. And you compare it with a lot of these other clubs that have, on the whole, made quite quick appointments. Now, Huddersfield, they didn't actually. That they took a little bit of time to appoint Danny Cowley to replace Jan Sievert. Big questions as to why Huddersfield even went into the season with Jan Sievert. But they took a little bit of time. But you think of Reading, how quickly they made their decision to go from José Gomes to Mark Bowen. You think of Millwall, after Neil Harris's resignation, they made a quick decision to go for Gary Rowett. Cardiff have been very rapid in their response to Neil Warnock's resignation to go for Neil Harris. Stoke took a week, and that's it, to bring Michael O'Neill in. That they made the decision. Obviously, you don't just go off a whim and just make a quick decision, because that's the best way and the easiest way to making a massive mistake. But they were quick in their response to it, and they made the decision. They backed their horse. They went for one guy, and they pursued that. And it just feels like with Barnsley, they made the decision that Daniel Stender wasn't the man to take them forward, but then they didn't really calculate that the fact that they need someone else to come in to replace him. And it doesn't feel like they made that calculation. And it just, as I said, I just don't get, number one, why you take so long to make an appointment. This isn't 2 weeks. It's not even 3 weeks. It's over a month since Daniel Stendel left Barnsley. And considering the position that they're in, yes, they need to make the right decision, because if they get it wrong, then they're going straight back down into League One. They also need to identify what they want from their manager. Do they want a person that's in it for the long haul? Even if Barnsley goes straight back down into League One, are they thinking about a long-term plan, or do they just simply want a quick fix and to make sure they stay in the Championship at all costs? But it also adds to this point of, it's all well and good believing that the manager you've currently got isn't the man to take you forward. And that's a kind of a word of warning to the Premier League clubs at the moment that are umming and ahhing as to whether they want to change their manager. You've got to have in mind who you believe is a good choice that is going to do a better job, because it's all well and good saying that the person currently doing it isn't doing a good job. But do you honestly believe that with the same parameters, the same constraints, depending on the job, that another person can do a significantly better job? That's, for me, the only reason why you change your manager, is because you definitely believe that the person that you're going to bring in is going to do significantly better than the person that's currently got that position. And it feels like with Barnsley, maybe behind the scenes there was tension, there were things that we couldn't quite see in the public eye that weren't quite right at Barnsley, and I suppose we're not privy to that, and that's a private affair. So that might be their reasoning as to why they've made this decision. But Daniel Stenhall did a very good job, and you saw by the support of the fans that he was invited out for a drink at a pub that the day after he was sacked, and the support that he had from the fan base, that it wasn't as if the fans had massively turned on Daniel Stenhall. So it wasn't that sort of a situation where things had become toxic and therefore a manager really is never coming back from that when the fans turn on the manager. It feels like maybe they'd have been better served, especially with what's now happened over the last 5-6 weeks, to stick with him, to give him an opportunity to show maybe a bit of faith, because he took them up from League One into the Championship, to keep with him, especially in light of the fact they still don't have a permanent manager. And the person that's coming in now, Gerhard Struber, may come in and do a really good job and save them from relegation. And you've got to give him that chance. But you just wonder whether, especially, I mean, we're talking with the benefit of hindsight now, 6 weeks down the line, but you just wonder whether it would have been a more sensible decision to stick with Daniel Stenhall, to show him the faith, to keep going with him, even though the results weren't great and they were near the bottom. Barnsley's situation has most certainly not been helped by this limbo. Adam Murray, caretaker manager, not knowing if he's going to be given the job permanently or not, whether he's just holding the fort until someone else comes along. That hasn't helped. Barnsley now are bottom, and they're 5 points from safety. They need to make an appointment, and they've now left it that Struber still isn't in charge. So even if he is appointed in the next 24, 48 hours, he's not going to have a long time before the weekend fixtures, before we return from the international break. And they've got Blackburn away on the weekend. So will they have a new manager in charge, and will they be able to make a significant amount of difference going into that game? Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We are going to be talking a little bit about Reading and Blackburn later in the hour. But up next, we'll be talking all things Bristol City.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to be talking all things Bristol City now. And I'm delighted to say we are joined by Paul, who is at the Exiled Robin on Twitter and Facebook. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Paul. So if we look at Bristol City firstly, in a general sense, sixth place on 28 points through this international break, 16 games in. They're only 3 points off the automatic promotion spots. Would you say that Bristol City fans on the whole are pretty happy, or is there a feeling maybe that they could be even slightly higher?
No, I think on the whole pretty happy. I think there's been a lot of maybe scrappier games than we'd have ideally liked, and closer games, but there's definitely a sense that we're battling through, getting results, not necessarily in top form, but doing enough in games to stay competitive and grab results where we need to. Case in point, Cardiff away last weekend, I don't think anyone said we played particularly well, but we were tough, we were resilient, we held off the onslaught in terms of defensively, and managed to grab a great goal to win the game, and that's fairly typical of our season, to be honest.
The last result there, a 1-0 win away at Cardiff, which obviously spelled the end of Neil Warnock's reign at Cardiff. Is that just a case in point of being able to grind out wins? And how do you view that? Do you think if we can grind out wins now, there are going to be games where Bristol City are going to play better, and so the performances are going to get there, and so you can combine that? Or Is there a little bit of a worry that going forward there are going to be games where even if Bristol City grind out, they're not going to get wins and therefore the performances are a little bit concerning?
Yeah, I think probably the former. I think there's a, I've mentioned on this show before the number of injuries we had this season. I think there's a feeling we're sort of still just trying to keep our heads above water in terms of a promotion race. And just one or two starting to come back now. Thomas Callas has come back the last couple of games at the centre back and looked strong. Adam Nars came back into midfield on last weekend and he's played three games for us and we've kept two clean sheets. So that, you know, it's a very small sample size, but a good indication of what might be possible once we get some of these players back. So I think there's a feeling a little bit hanging on. We will play better, undoubtedly, than we have done at times this season. But as we know in football, you might not always get the result then. It doesn't always work like that. But we're a gritty team, we're a hard-working team, and you just hope that we can, you know, say, hang on a little bit, pick up results, and then maybe in January sign that player who can make a difference to the second half of the season.
And going into this busy part of the season where the games are going to come thick and fast, they do anyway in the Championship, but in particular during this period, do you think that Bristol City have a squad, as you mentioned, they've had quite a lot of injuries so far this season. Do you think that the squad is capable of dealing with this period? And do you think that Lee Johnson will have the faith in this squad that he has available to him rather than the players injured and believe that he can potentially rotate and still get the results necessary?
No, I think most of the way across the squad, we've got quite a lot of depth. We've got, you know, a couple of good goalkeepers. We've got a couple of right backs. We've got five centre halves. We've just got players coming back from injury. As mentioned, centre midfield, there's plenty of options in there as well, where we have been short, to be honest, for most of the season so far. But and out wide, we've got options. So I think the one area of concern is up front. We've really only got two main line strikers, which is Famara Diju and Andy Wyman. I think if either of them were to get injured for a period of time, we might struggle a little bit in that position. And that's probably the area we would look to strengthen most and you know, I'm probably most concerned about in the whole team.
I wanted to get your views, Paul, on Ashley Williams, obviously a vastly experienced player in the Championship, in the Premier League, and also at an international level. He's extended his Bristol City deal until the end of the season. Maybe at the start of the season was seen as a stopgap, a filler, but has he kind of proven to be quite a shrewd bit of investment in a player that came in on a free transfer, didn't have to pay a transfer fee for him, and has actually proven to be a great addition?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, an element of fortune about it, I guess. We had a couple of injuries early on to centre-halves. We were desperately short for a couple of games in early September, and obviously with the transfer deadline having passed, we couldn't do a lot, but luckily, you know, Williams was on the list. I think when he was signed, there were quite a few doubters, including myself, hands up, that seen him play last season and not been very impressed with his pace or his aptitude to the games, but he's come in and been absolutely tremendous for us, to be honest. I think, yeah, he's come in, he's added a level of experience, he's added a level of composure, and certainly in last weekend's game, you could see in the next one, you know, what it meant to him to go to Cardiff and win. And also, I think what came through last weekend was keeping that clean sheet. We'd conceded two goals late against Barnsley, and you could see the determination of a keeper and the defence, especially last weekend, to make sure we held out and didn't lose more points late on.
Looking ahead then, Paul, to the January transfer window, there's been a suggestion maybe Bristol City might look to bring in a centre-forward, especially with Benik Afobe's long-term injury. Do you think there are any kind of obvious areas where Bristol City, if possible, would ideally need to strengthen in the window?
No, I think that's the outstanding one. One, if not two strikers. We've got Rodri in from Spain, who hasn't really appeared much. He's only on a short-term contract, so might well be on his way in January if we can sign extra cover. Anton Semenyo is a young player, but not really had the impact he'd hoped. So we are really down to, you know, the last two options in a way. So I can certainly see with the players we got out on loan and Afobe's injury, two forwards would be a minimum one. But apart from that, no, I think we've got a fairly resolute squad, to be honest. Unless there's another serious injury between now and then in any position, I can't really see much requirement across the rest of the squad. It's really just those front positions.
And just looking ahead to these next couple of games, Paul, a couple of pretty crunch games. On Saturday, it's at home against Nottingham Forest, who are sat just above Bristol City on the same number of points. Then a midweek trip to tabletop as West Brom. We're going to learn a lot about this Bristol City side in these next two games.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, two good teams. I think, you know, following that, we've got Huddersfield who are in form and Fulham away. So, you know, four really tough games actually in a row. But not all games are quite tough in this league, but yeah, they're a big challenge. And we always have a good battle against Forest. There's a little bit of an almost unknown rivalry there between the two sides. So yeah, it should be a good game Saturday in front of a big crowd. And then, yeah, as you say, a big trip to the league leaders in midweek, at a ground where we've had our moments, and hopefully we can, you know, pick up at least 3, if not 4 points from those two games and really sort of cement our position in the top six.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Paul. That was Paul at the X Old Robin on Twitter and Facebook, talking all things Bristol City. They're in a decent little position in sixth place at the moment. They're just 3 points off the automatic promotion spots, just 5 points actually off the top of the table. They've had their fair share of injuries, so Lee Johnson maybe has a bit of an excuse if there is a slight dip in form. Ben Akafobe, for example, is out with a long-term injury, and according to Paul, they do need probably 2 strikers in the January transfer window. That will be the focus for Lee Johnson. I think the rumours suggesting that he will be given some funds, potentially limited funds, but will be given the opportunity to look at investing in at least one striker in the January transfer window. That's all Paul feels that Bristol City need coming up. But a big couple of games for Bristol City. They're at home against Nottingham Forest, and then they travel to West Brom. So a couple of big games. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. And one man that has done that is Mitchell. He's a Leeds United season ticket holder. Thank you very much for calling us up this afternoon, Mitchell. Leeds currently sat third, 31 points. Same number of points as Preston in second, just 2 points off the top. What are your feelings on Leeds' start to the season?
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm feeling positive, you know. I think any team that's up there that you're a fan of or support, you're obviously going to be really happy. But I think this year, you know, it could be our year, if I'm honest. With all the positivity around the club, we're very stable now compared to other years. And I think if we're going to do it any year, I think this year will be our year. Just the fact that we've got a great owner who has put money into the management team more than anything. And I think, like Marcelo and his coaching team, have done an extremely good job with the makeshift team we've got. And I think this season, you know, the defence looks very good. The attacking wise is very good as well, but we're not finishing chances, which is why Luton, who were fourth bottom, have actually scored one more goal than us. But one thing that has improved is that defence, and that's the fine margins between both teams, that we've only conceded 8 and they've conceded 30, which is quite a difference.
I know that there's been a lot of criticism of Patrick Bamford from Leeds fans this season, but a big moment for him scoring last time out against Blackburn, his first goal since the end of August. What's your view on the Bamford and Nketiah situation? Is it Bamford that should be starting? Should it be Nketiah, or could it be both?
Well, like you say, Marcelo doesn't like to change systems. And for me, if there is a point where, you know, I might go against Marcelo's view, and I'm not afraid to, but on this occasion, I think Marcelo's tactically perfect in this scenario. I think changing to 2 up front's just, I wouldn't do it. I don't think we're in a need to do it, should I say. I think personally, having 1 up top is my sort of style that I'd go with. So if he is going to continue to do this, then he's got to start Nketiah. I think balls are getting played through the channels and slipping through for likes of Bamford, who doesn't really offer too much going forward, if I'm honest. Especially scoring. You know, we're paying him to score end of the day, whereas you've got Nketiah who can tick all them boxes off. And you've seen that in the academy days. And for me, he's a perfect fit for Leeds United. And, you know, I want to see him develop as a player, and then we can all remember who he actually plays for. But apart from that, I think he could get 20-odd goals if he starts starting him, for me. So fingers crossed, you know, Marcelo starts seeing a different side to Nketiah, and he can start the next game. But for me, Bamford, you know, he's a player that offers things to the team, don't get me wrong. His touch is brilliant, but I think I'd prefer him out wide or in that cam role. But I think we have got better players that suit those positions. So for me, he's got to start Nketiah.
Thank you very much for calling us up this afternoon, Mitchell. That was Mitchell. He's a Leeds United season ticket holder, saying that he thinks Nketiah should be starting. Even though Bamford scored his first goal since August, he believes that Eddie Nketiah, the man on loan from Arsenal, should be starting through the middle. If you want to do the same as Mitchell, have your voice heard, call us on 0208 70 20 558, or You can get us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio, or you can WhatsApp us on that number. Share your views, as Mitchell has done, on your club for Leeds. He seems to be pretty happy with Marcelo Bielsa at the moment, saying tactically he's pretty perfect, but he would make that change, go with Nketiah rather than Bamford, which I think is an opinion shared by a lot of Leeds fans. Not necessarily a huge amount of love for Bamford. Maybe that might change after he ended his goal drought against Blackburn last time out. Leeds are up next against Luton to come on Saturday. Three of their next four are away from home. They are against sides near the bottom of the table. The next four games are all sides in the bottom sort of seven or eight in the league. Luton away, Reading away, Middlesbrough at home, Huddersfield away. On paper, they look like wins for Leeds, but I mean, the way the Championship has gone, Leeds could lose three of the next four, if we're being brutally honest. It is that crazy this season. As I said, that number again, 0208 7020 558. If you want to have your voice heard here on the Championship Fan Show, we're going to be talking a little bit about Reading later in the hour, but up next, we'll be talking all things Blackburn.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. We're going to be talking a little bit about Reading to come. We've already heard a little bit about Bristol City. Also, Mitchell, Leeds United season ticket holder, calling us up a little bit about Patrick Bamford. Eddie Nketiah is the dynamic there. Who should be playing centre forward? Also, some of the managerial storylines are still going on. Those that have changed their managers all seem to be on a bit of a high. Those that haven't are still struggling a little bit. But we'll be talking about Reading to come a little bit later in the hour. But we're going to be talking all things Blackburn now. And I'm delighted to say we are joined by Ryan Hildred, Blackburn podcaster. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ryan. Last time out then, it was a 2-1 defeat at Leeds. When you look back at that game, I know Tony Mowbray wasn't particularly happy with some of the decisions in that game, but generally, will Blackburn be particularly hurt by that game, or will they think Leeds are one of those sides that are favourites to get promoted, so that's not going to determine how Blackburn's season is going to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the result, it was probably a bit of a free hit game for us. You know, we weren't expecting to go to Elland Road and win given their form, but I think it's more the manner of the defeat, bit of a consistent thing on the road for us at the moment, that we're just going away from home and we're not turning up, and Leeds really didn't have to do much to beat us. You know, the scoreline looked close, but, you know, it wasn't really a contest in many respects. You know, again, not many shots on target and no real threats going forward, and Leeds were able to just manage that game out. So that's the particularly concerning thing away from home, and it's been repeated occasions through the season, actually, at a variety of clubs up and down the table.
So looking at Blackburn's position at the moment, they're 18th on 18 points through the first 16 games. You look at a lot of the clubs around Blackburn, you look at a few above them, Reading, Millwall and now Cardiff, but Reading and Millwall, they've had a change of manager, they've had a bit of an upturn. Huddersfield, just below Blackburn, have changed their manager. Stoke have decided to change their manager. Do you look at those other clubs, some of the bounces they've had, and think maybe that's something we should be considering with Tony Mowbray, or does he retain the support of both the fans and the hierarchy at Blackburn?
Yeah, I mean, I've said before, before the Leeds game, I think it was, when I was on the show, that certainly there's big question marks on Mowbray now, lots of questions for him to answer. Saturday's game is a pivotal one for him. You know, Barnsley at home, if we don't win that game, then I think serious question marks will be asked of him. The million-dollar question, as always, though, when you're changing your manager, is who do you replace them with? Last time I said Chris Hughton would still be the one who I'd go for if he was available and if he was in our price bracket, and if he is still available. I've not checked the news today. I think a young up-and-coming manager, you know, there's been talks of people like Gareth Ainsworth at Wickham before, you know, people like that. That's a risk for me. I think Nathan Jones got his finger burnt at Stoke, and I don't think it's the manager we need. I think we need a steady pair of hands. So Hughton is the only one. So if you replace Mowbray, it's got to be the right replacement. But yeah, we're looking at it. The team's gone a bit stale. The wave that we were riding after the League One season seems to have all subsided now. So yeah, I think there's plenty of the fan base now who are thinking a change could be a good thing, definitely.
Obviously, we don't know if Tony Mowbray is still going to be in charge at this point, but if he is, looking at January, obviously it's still a little bit of time away, but inevitably already so many rumours up and down the country as to what might happen in that transfer window. What would you say? I think I know what your answer is going to be, but in terms of a need in the January transfer window, what do Blackburn desperately need to do if they do need to do some serious business in the window?
Yeah, well, it's definitely defensively. You knew I was going to say that one. We lost Greg Cunningham to that long-term injury at left back, so he's not really been replaced. Right back is still a problem area, even though we've got Ryan Nyambi, who should be playing more than he does. And absolutely another centre-back for Daryl Enahan to pair up with. So, you know, any of those positions across that back four, we could do with strengthening. And even though we've spent a lot of money up top, you know, if there is an attacking-minded player, a forward, you know, a bit of a, even a free transfer that might just help out Danny Graham a little bit. You know, we've still got a reliance on Danny Graham, even though he's not played that much this season. You know, he's still the one that roughs up the Championship defences and causes a few problems more than what Gallagher and Armstrong have been able to do. So certainly those two areas I'd be looking at in January if we can, but absolute priority on defence. You know, a good team starts at the back, doesn't it?
When you look at the Blackburn team, in particular going forward, you've talked about, and as I said, it wasn't a surprise to hear you, Ryan, say about defensively is the need in the January transfer window. But you look at going forward, Lewis Holtby's been brought in on a two-year contract, and he's played at a pretty good level at some parts during his career. The likes of Bradley Dack, experienced players like Stuart Downing, Danny Graham, should realistically Blackburn be doing significantly better than they are and therefore have aims, objectives for the season slightly being adjusted because of this start?
Yeah, definitely. First and foremost, I think we're underachieving going forward. I think the players that we've got at our disposal, we should be hurting teams more. So I think for whatever reason, Mowbray's not using them properly or getting the most out of them in whatever system we're playing. So yeah, I think it's taken Mowbray by surprise, definitely. I think it's taken some of the fans by surprise because this was the first summer where it was a pretty stable summer and we strengthened. But you know, in terms of the table and the results, we seem to have gone backwards a bit. So yeah, those objectives have been changed. I've been on this show before and said we should be looking at playoffs. For me, it's probably just, you know, let's just stay in the division first and foremost now. I'd still like to aim for playoffs if we can. And if you can go on some stupid run, you can make playoffs, even if you start that run in January. But, you know, we've definitely underachieved and that's been the source of our problems. We're just not hurting teams. Teams are finding it easy to beat us, particularly away from home. And, you know, we really just need to use these tools that we've got available to us, because you look at someone like Adam Armstrong, Pace to burn, and Bradley Dack and Lewis Holtby can unlock those defences. And Sam Gallagher, as much as it's not gone for him, he can actually dribble with the ball pretty well. And when he gets going, is a handful. So I think, yeah, we've really underachieved going forward.
And just finally then, Ryan, looking at the next three games, it feels like an important run for Tony Mowbray's side. Three of the next four are at home. I'm sure that Tony Mowbray will want to be banking on that home form. And as the Championship table currently stands, if Blackburn can get on a run at home, suddenly talk of relegation will be a distant memory in 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. But the three games are actually, you know, well, there's no easy game on paper, is there, in the Championship? But I think Barnsley will be looking at us and thinking, yeah, there's these doubts in Rovers at the moment. You know, if we can put a defeat on Blackburn, Mowbray might go. So I think Barnsley will be looking at that on Saturday and thinking, yeah, let's go there and be confident. Brentford, who knows? You know, Brentford can kill any team in the division, and then another week they surprise you with a defeat. So who knows which Brentford will turn up at Ewood? And then Stoke in that next game. I mean, they've got Michael O'Neill now, and I'm expecting them to bounce. So that's not going to be an easy game either. So really, for me, it's just this one on Saturday. Let's see what happens on Saturday. See if we can get a morale boosting win, take the pressure off Mowbray a bit, and look forward to that Brentford game. But yeah, no easy games these next few coming up, that's for sure.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Ryan. That was Ryan Hildred, Blackburn podcaster. Wondering whether sort of Tony Mowbray is coming towards the end of his tenure. He took over in February 2017, and sometimes you just wonder whether things go a bit stale and it just needs a change just to reinvigorate, remotivate the players. And so it may not be a massive slight on Mowbray himself, but maybe just a new voice, a change in there, could turn around Blackburn's fortunes. As Ryan was saying there, the attacking-wise, Blackburn have got plenty at their disposal. They're not getting the best out of them. And maybe that does come down to Tony Mowbray. And as Ryan said, a pretty significant game on Saturday against Barnsley, who are still without a manager. They could be with one by the time he gets to Saturday. But if Blackburn don't win at home, that could spell the end of Tony Mowbray's reign. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. Up next, we'll be talking about a club that have changed their manager and have had an upturn in form, and that is Reading.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to be talking all things Reading now, and I'm delighted to say we are joined by Paul Mann from Elm Park Royals. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Paul. We've been talking about managers quite a lot in the Championship Fan Show and also in the Premier League Fan Show. Reading are obviously one of those that have changed their manager, and it's been a real change. So under Jose Gomes, things look bad at the end. Mark Bowen came in, not a lot of positivity surrounding that appointment, but unbeaten in his first four games. It just shows that in the space of a short period of time, the feelings probably have significantly changed at Reading.
Yeah, definitely. The fans were not keen on the appointment of Mark Bowen at all. But now, slowly but surely, he's turning the crowd to his side. Still needs a little bit more time to actually convince them fully, but compared to where he was a month ago, it's daylight and the darkness, really. It's just incredible.
Looking at where Reading currently are, they are 17th on 18 points. 15 games in, they do actually have a game in hand, which is important to point out after their game against Nottingham Forest was postponed. But a bit like Huddersfield, a few weeks ago, I'm guessing chat about relegation would have been rife. Now, is the suggestion that they're starting to really look forward rather than looking over their shoulders?
Yeah, totally. Definitely. We're trying to kind of edge ourselves towards that playoff spot, if possible. Always keeping an eye on the relegation zone, because that's where we've been for the last few years. But the optimism around the club is way, way higher than it was before. And like you say, we have got that game in hand. And it was a bit disappointing to have that game called off, because I think at that point we would have beaten Nottingham Forest. But we'll see how that goes in the rearranged one.
One of the current Reading players, I'm sure you got to know a little bit more. I believe you recorded a podcast with Captain Liam Moore last week, talking about a whole range of topics. You did cover Jose Gomes, obviously the manager that was replaced by Mark Bowen. What did he have to say about the former manager?
He absolutely loved the last manager, Jose Gomes. He says on the podcast that I recorded that he wouldn't hesitate to work with him again. He was also really disappointed by the way that the media portrayed the situation and how things came out about it. They weren't true at all. And he said, sort of told me they had to turn off his social media for 2 weeks because it was just getting to him too much and he didn't want to react to it. So, yeah, there's lots of stuff in the podcast talking about also Mark Bowen being appointed as well. So, yeah, give it a listen if you can.
Is it? We talked actually to one of the Brentford guys a few weeks ago and talk about a podcast they did with Thomas Frank, the manager, and we were talking about the access that Brentford have, or the Brentford fans, podcasters have to the manager. It must be great too, because this just wouldn't happen in the Premier League, but in the Championship at Reading, how great is it the club have given you the access to the club captain to sit down to do a podcast? And how did Liam Moore come across in that interview?
Oh, Liam Moore is fantastic. He's so open and honest about everything. There's no question that I couldn't ask him. Before I go into the thing, there's no club people there when I'm doing the podcast. They don't beck any questions. They don't want to hear it before. It just goes out exactly as I would record any other podcast, which is amazing access, as you say. You'd never get that in even some teams in the Championship. They just wouldn't do that. So, yeah, the Brentford one I've listened to as well, and that's really good too.
We often talk about in modern-day sports about how either players are media trained and so they kind of just regurgitate stuff they've just been told about 5 minutes before they do interviews. Why do you think it's important for kind of not just the Championship, for the Premier League, but for other sports as well, that fans have this access to players? Or do you think that there's a risk that if this happened too much, that we would maybe know a little bit too much about these guys, whereas they should have, to an extent, private lives, as we all hope that we have them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there is a kind of like a limit. You don't want to be doing them every week because that wouldn't work. But I think a really a key factor for me when I'm doing them is to show that the players, when they're receiving the praise, that's great. But also when they sit there on their phone and also look at their social media reaction that they get sometimes after when the games aren't going so well, these are still humans and they are being affected by it. You see young players getting lots of abuse on their social media profiles. And it's all well and good to say that they're getting paid a lot of money, but actually that doesn't make any difference if you're getting a lot of stick, basically. And we have not been in good form for the last 3 years, really. So that's been pretty much ongoing. But to have someone like Liam Moore, you know, making some jokes about, oh, we're living in Ovi Ajari's world, it's Ovi's world and we're living in it, that's kind of, that's gold dust. And to have your captain of your club open doing to that is, it's just brilliant for me as a fan.
Back to on-field matters, and it was interesting to see a report in some of the media outlets yesterday linking a young Danny Loader with a move to Manchester United. A bit of a trend in the family. His brother Ben plays for London Irish, obviously, at the Medeski Stadium, as well as a really highly rated young player that the many are tipping to go on to play for England. Danny Loader, as I said, being linked with Manchester United. He's just 19, played for a lot of the England age groups, England under 16, 17, 18, 19, and currently the under 20s. How much have you seen of Danny Loader and how talented a player he is? Or were you a bit surprised maybe at this stage of his career that he's already being linked with some of the biggest clubs in the world, for example, Manchester United?
I'm a little bit surprised he's being linked with teams of that quality, but I do think there's something in Danny Loader. His technique is fantastic. He's come into the team when we were struggling last season and he found it really hard because he was playing in a striker position. I don't actually think that's his natural position. I think he's normally come cutting in from the wing and that's where his strength is. That's where he scored his one goal against Middlesbrough, which was a fantastic goal last season. But I can see why clubs want him. I'm just surprised at the quality of the height of the teams at the moment because he hasn't really done a lot in the first team. But like you say, he's still incredibly young. So they're going to try and get these players on board. It's kind of like a money ball approach, isn't it, that these clubs use. If one of them works, that's good enough for them, isn't it?
Well, I was going to ask Paul about, there's this, not an obsession, because it's a good thing, about the number of young English players in particular that this season we've seen a massive increase in the number of young English players being given a go starting games in the Premier League. Do you think that this is only going to increase over the next few years? We're in that cycle at the moment where Premier League clubs, and for example, you look at someone like Daniel James, obviously Welsh rather than English, but a young player at Swansea, maybe came as a surprise that he went to Manchester United and has arguably been their best player so far this season. Do you think it's going to be a trend that we're going to see more and more of Premier League clubs dipping into the Championship, looking at young 17, 18-year-olds, even if they haven't played a huge number of first-team games, they're going to try and pluck them at a very, very young age and try and control, effectively, their future?
Yeah, I'd love to see that happen because there's definitely players in the Championship that can make that step up. We've got one, Ovi Ajari. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in a Premier League team this season at all, even though, obviously, we've got an obligation to buy him in the summer, but they can quickly move on the day after. There are players there, and if the big clubs in the Premier League want to take that chance and that opportunity, there are there, and Daniel James is another one. Last season in the Championship, he was destroying teams on certain days. He's still incredibly young. He's such a talent. I don't need to go abroad to get all these players all the time.
And just finally then, Paul, looking at the next two games in particular, away at Brentford coming up and then at home against Leeds, two tough games coming up from Mark Burns' side. And obviously he's made an unbeaten start, but we're going to learn a lot about his Reading side over these next couple of games.
Yeah, we are still unbeaten after the next two games. I'd say he's made a golden start. Brentford, we could get something there. They only recently lost at home to Huddersfield, even though they're obviously far above us in the league. But I still think we can get a result at Brentford. But Leeds, that's going to be really tough. They absolutely destroyed us last season, 3-0, and it could have been 6 or 7 at the Medeski Stadium. So I would probably be happy if we got 2 points from those two games. I'd be very, very happy. I'd probably even just take one at the moment. That's where we're at, because both those teams are very good.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Paul. That was Paul Mann from Elm Park Royals talking about Mark Burns' unbeaten start to life as the Reading manager, and that interest from Manchester United in young Danny Loader, as I said, runs in the family, a bit of sporting success with Ben Loader being a young talented player at London Irish, and also talking about his interview with Liam Moore. Great access to the Reading captain there.
This is Love Sport.